welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in tech. I have a fantastic panel to discuss it with this afternoon. Awesome panel. And somebody new as well. Yes. Joining me, top left, start us off. It's Big Chris Ashley.
What up, my peoples? Thank you for having me back.
So talk me through the different camera view you do, because before we had you against the fridge, and now we've got you against your Washington Redskins shirt.
So because the other camera I was using tend to crash it, and I found out that this one seems to work better, so I just switched cameras that I had available, okay. And this one looks pretty good. I think it's got my good side. So no more refrigerator look. Now you see my Skins jersey.
Well, how's the season going for the Skins?
Oh, it's so up and down. It's so up and down. It's painful for us yet again. But, the last one was kind of exciting. But, this week, fingers crossed.
You got to look on the positive side though, mate. It's better than being a Lions fan.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's always that. There's always somebody worse.
Yeah, that's thanks, mate. Oh, they came to England and I didn't buy a ticket for their match. And after the pasting they got last weekend, I'm pretty chuffed that I didn't go.
Yeah, you gotta go when you can, man. It's still fun.
I'm a floating Jet supporter now. Next to him is Jeff Gamet. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing all right. And how are you?
I'm fine. I found some video of you on the big show from 3 years ago, and man, you had some flowery, wispy locks.
My hair was a bit longer then, wasn't it?
Just a bit, and it started to curl up at the ends.
Yeah. No. Yeah, the curly things drives my dad crazy, but the girls like it, so hey, they win.
There we go. You been all right, mate?
Yeah.
Now, you've got a different camera position as well.
Yes, I set up a new camera.
Are you all just trying to mess with my head this week?
Yep.
Okay. So why have you got a new camera?
Well, I've been testing out an HP curved display. No kidding. This thing is 34 inches wide. Wow. But it doesn't have a webcam built in. So I use that as an excuse to get something better than the built-in EyeSight camera from my MacBook Pro.
You are about half a second away from lip sync as well. It's that good.
That's amazing.
It is. It's editable, but I'm not going to edit.
All right.
I bought a new screen. It was this big. Beneath him, it's Dark Rock. How you doing, buddy? How's Hawaii on the same camera angle, which stops me freaking out completely.
The funny thing about that, I was really a couple seconds away from shooting it downstairs because I moved into my new office. I'm getting everything set up. And so I didn't want to disconnect everything to come back upstairs. The only reason why I didn't, they decided to start sanding the floor in the hallway right about 2 minutes before the show, which is why I ran upstairs.
Oh, okay.
To go and do it here, so...
Thanks,
it
man.
Would have been a newer camera angle and a much brighter room, and I would have been able to show you the laser because my new desk is right next. Anyway, everything is fantastic. I really enjoy Jeff's wide angle with more phallus. Looks great.
Yeah, super. If any of you hear any bangs,
wider just for you.
If any of you hear any loud bangs in the background, it's not because we've done this from a US movie theater. It's because there is fireworks outside because it's Guy Fawkes night. Okay, so this is the year that we celebrate Guy Fawkes getting caught and stopped from blowing up the Houses of Parliament and King James. So there we go. And the bastard was hung, drawn, and quartered. And his family actually stayed in a field just up the street from where I'm sat, not 3 miles away.
I mean the Vendetta guy.
No, that's Guy Fawkes, Guido Fawkes, isn't it? It's not the same.
It's the same thing.
Okay. Yeah. Righty boys next.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm all right, boy. What have you been? Now, you tweeted out your diary today, and you said you'd be creating media. What media did you create?
Well, we opened our new Centre for Technology Enhanced Learning today at the UEA. It had 100 people come in from outside the university and inside, and... And this great day about creating media, videos, getting lectures online, all that sort of thing. It was absolutely mental. We had donuts, lunches. I think I've had about 12 cups of coffee, and I'm buzzing. It was absolutely brilliant. So my new job is really going off with a kick at the moment.
Excellent, mate. And was Hot Boss pleased?
Yeah, she was well chuffed.
Good man. So did you get many of the ideas from my set up here? Is that what you... Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, no, really? It looks exactly like that. We've got the wall of shame and everything.
Oh, superb. And last but by no means least whatsoever, Jody Spangler. How you doing, Mrs.
Hello.
Joining us from Michigan.
Yep.
Are you a Lions fan?
No, I'm from California, so.
Yeah, I know. No. I got family in Detroit, so I go over there occasionally, and I got to say, it's hard being a Lions fan.
Yep, they weren't doing too good.
No. And where are you, what's your background? Where are you from?
I'm from Anaheim, California, and I moved to Michigan in the early 90s, and then I went back to California, and then I used to fly all over the country. I was a gypsy teaching Mac troubleshooting repair all over the place, and then I came here permanently again in 2005.
Right.
So kind of bouncing around.
Yeah, and you run a consultancy, a Mac support business, but other tech as well.
Well, yeah, I do like everything. I have become the Apple goddess to old people. So, you know, I've been in this industry for over 30 years, and it's kind of just evolved. And, you know, once I got white hair, they just find me.
Now, my mother's 84, and she has a go. I'll give her a due. She tries to do her own email, and she does a bit of web browsing, and she's even purchased something on the net.
Mm-hmm.
But I listened to your interview with Chuck Joyner on Mac Voices. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot listening from that. I have to say, if anyone's listening, you should go and have a listen to it because it's well worth watching. But one of the things that you said that was quite interesting was don't take over from them, make them do it, make them touch the screen, which I do religiously with my mom. How do you stop them, though? When you say, do you see that icon to the right? How do you stop them just going straight over and clicking on it before you've even said to do anything? You've only asked them if they've seen it, but they've gone and clicked it before you realised.
Well, then we just back up and do it again, and I just tell them to wait. You have to have a lot of patience to work with old people, a lot.
Okay. So could you support for my mom, please, mate?
Sure, anytime.
Okay. You can do the old remote sign-in thing.
That'll yep.
solve the problem.
I do that, too. It's a little hard for them. Usually if I do remote for old people, I will put it on their equipment, and then I just tell them, you know, click on the little picture, and then tell me the password, and then I just log in, so.
Batwinch wants to know where she's heard the name Anaheim from. Probably just now.
Disneyland.
Disney. Ah, right, okay.
I lived a block from Disneyland. Mickey Mouse was my half-brother, and I used to panhandle tickets in the parking lot and go in the park all the time as a kid.
What the hell did your mother look like then if your half-brother did your Mac?
You don't want to know.
The Week in Tech, what's been going on, what's been happening, what's the big news, what isn't the big news? In the UK, we've got a really draconian, potentially horrific bill going through Parliament that would see severe encryption being prohibited and police having access to anything they fancy without warrant, which is pretty bad. But it's not my show, it's everyone else's. Who's got a story that they want to bring? Who's got a story that they think is the big tech story of the week?
Thank you.
Oh, Doc Rock's first in the chat room with the Washington Post story. Go on then, Doc. Talk us through it, buddy.
So, something that's really, really, I don't know, I want to call it a coming to Jesus moment, but I don't want to offend any people that actually believe in that stuff. Way back when Amazon first started, there was this, you know, race against sort of the online store, the click-and-mortar store versus the brick-and-mortar stores. And... Mm. Full circle, Amazon's opening, actually not is opening, just opened its first brick and mortar store around about Monday in Seattle. So they basically took a going defunct bookstore and turned it into a full-fledged live walk-in Amazon store. And the way they're sourcing it is they're using their metadata to find out, you know, what all the top books, all the top categories, the things that are really selling. And so it pretty much only has, you know, the best of the best in the various categories. It's kind of like looking at a live Amazon wish list. There's also all of the Nook counter. There's the Fire counter or whatever the heck they want to call it. But I think it's kind of trippy that they came full circle and opened up an Amazon bookstore in University Village. The other thing that I think that is really smart play, if they're going to do what I think they're going to do with it. See, Amazon's big deal is non-centralized or disambiguated distribution. And then so now, if there were, say, one of these Amazon.com brick and mortar stores in Birmingham, and then all of a sudden you wanted to order a new book, Coffee Shop Tales from Jeff Gamet, right now would go through the UK and find out a warehouse that's closest to you in order to send one to you. But if it happened to be one right down the street in the bookstore, you can't call right now. It would basically ship out of there or tell you, hey, there's one like two blocks away. You want to go and grab it? So, and I think that'd be a really, really cool way for them to start to expand some of their distribution. But it's just the kind of telling that all of the regular bookstores are quote unquote dying, and then Amazon opens up a real one. And it's also kind of telling that recently research says that paper reading has gone back up, especially with the youngins trying to be hipster and trying to be, you know, right, old school. And there's a flower stuck in my nose. What the hell's going on here?
That's a poppy, mate, and you'll live with it. Trust me, plenty of other people died for it, so.
Now, it I know must what be it is. Some now, kind of playbook from, out there I get that it. It's exists. The same one from soccer. That's why I asked you earlier. I got it.
It's now not from soccer.
Well, no, but I watch soccer and all of the coaches wear it, so that's why I know what it is now. It makes sense.
It's from the First World War.
I got it. Now okay. I figured it out. I didn't know what it was for at first. Now I remember. It makes sense.
Chat room's reinforcing. I just think
send your hate mail to Ewan.
Yeah, okay. No one's gonna give me hate mail for that, mate. I just think that's a bit disingenuous, don't you? I mean, it's no, like they killed all the bricks and mortar stores, and now they start a bricks and mortar store so that they can deliver stuff faster.
That's the game, it's, man. If you think about it,
there you go.
That's the same approach 50 Cent took with Ja Rule. He told everybody that Ja Rule wasn't nothing. Because he's singing on all his records. Everybody was like, yeah, you know what? You're right. He does sing on all his records. And then 50 Cent put out an album. His next album, he was singing all over his. And then he became one of the biggest rap stars at the time. I mean, you got to tell everybody what's hot is not. And then when it's time, you make it hot again. That, there's nothing wrong with that. That's exactly what they did. And they pulled it off to a T.
Yeah. What? Amazon have had bricks and mortar stores for years. It's called every other retailer in the world because everyone goes and looks at the things they want to buy and then they go home and then they go to Amazon and buy it. So they've always had bricks and mortar stores.
Well, it's just they've always had showrooms that other people pay for.
Yeah. So it seems a bit weird.
Yeah, for me personally.
It totally makes sense, I think. Amazon wants to own the market. So what they do is they kill the rest of the market, and then they move in and replace the stores that they've killed off with their own. And they've done this in a really smart way. I'm not saying I think this is good for business, but it's really smart for what they're trying to do. They're not selling books for any more in their physical store than they do online. So you can go into the Seattle Amazon store and buy books for less than you will pay in any other store. So this is yet another piece in their whole market domination plan. And Doc, you stole my story, so I'm coming up with something else.
Well, I also think that, you know, the fire has been a momentum changer for them, and it's also been a like 900-pound anchor for them, because a lot of the fire devices having come off the way that they would want them to, right? The Kindle, we can say now, is kind of wildly successful. Sure. The Fire TV is slowly gaining ground, is wildly successful. And I got one recently. The 4K Fire TV is amazing. I actually opted for that over my standard issue, eat everything with a rainbow, call it a day, right? Because that thing blows doors off Apple TV right now. And especially because I can watch 4K. So, but some of the other devices, you notice like the six-pack of the Fire tablet, you know, it comes literally in a beer box with six of them, and it's a $50 tablet right now. And so this gives people a chance to put their hands on stuff that maybe is harder for people to get their hands on if they don't live nearby more, or they just wouldn't know that this stuff is any good. Once you have one of these devices, all it really turns into is a giant gateway into everything Prime. Like, not everybody's like you and I, mm-hmm, automatically pressing the Prime button religiously, right? We go to church of Prime like 8 times a week. But, you know, for people who haven't really hit that mark yet, they get their hands on a $50 tablet because they rolled into the store and was like, ah, it's only $50. Let me try it. And next thing you know, they're buying their socks. They're buying their cookware. You know, they're doing the grocery subscribing thing. So, you know, honestly, the everything store is just getting bigger and better. And I don't want to hate on them because right now they're probably one of the best sources of anything I need whenever I need it. And they rarely let me down. So, I mean, from a personal standpoint, I think Amazon's the greatest thing since oxygen.
Well, I had a bit of a, I got a bit pissed off. I've got pissed off over the last couple of weeks with them because, for those of you who don't know, I work 10 doors from where I live. I own an apartment up the street that I walk to work at. And I put a sign up regularly in the window that says, if you've got a parcel for me, I ain't here, come and deliver it to 30, which everyone does apart from Amazon. And I started complaining a while ago and said, why don't you just follow the sign and bring it up? Oh, because it could be anybody put the sign up. It's locked inside my porch. No, it couldn't. So it's got to be me. So bring it up. No, we're not doing that unless you specify. So I specified on the instructions, if no one's in, deliver to 30A. And they still didn't. They started giving it to my next door neighbour. Yesterday, I lost it completely because they gave it to some bloke who's as far away from my house as I am, the opposite end of the street, who I don't even know. So I ring him up and I'm like,
isn't that more the delivery company than Amazon? Because
No. I order it from them. They're responsible till I hold it. That's the end of that. I'm not having anything else. Like, none of that shit's going to go into it. You're not a lawyer, Sunshine. So anyway,
stop.
This is my story. You get your chance. So anyway, I say to them, that's not okay. I don't even know this bloke. I'm sure he's perfectly fine. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I've tried to get you to just deliver it to me. I've been sat here all day and you can't be asked all you might come out with all the reasons why your delivery drivers can't do it, but when it comes down to it, you and I both know they're just a bunch of lazy bastards. I'm sorry to hear that, Mr. Rankin. You're a very valued customer. I'll send a note through. Lo and behold, today, I order what's actually my cool thing, and bloke knocks on the door. Mr. Rankin, yes, there you go. Sorry. And walks away. So, but... That's what I really value about Amazon, is that ability, you know, the customer service element of it. But there's a certain part of this story which makes me look at them and go, I think you're doing a great service. I think you're doing a great thing for the consumer. The consumer is well protected. If I've got anything wrong with anything that I've bought from you, I just go, this is a piece of crap. And they go, okay, fine, send it back. And if the other retailer goes, no, that's not it. They just go, it's tough. We're a big buying power. You have to go along with this. And I value all of that, but there's a bit of me that's like, it's not okay to kill all the businesses in the high street and then come back and replenish them all afterwards. That, I know what Chris is saying, and that's the competitive market, and maybe it's different in the US than it is in the UK, but I value my local butcher. If Tesco's kill my local butcher and then start a butchery shop just next door to where they've got a Tesco supermarket, I'm kind of like, that's not okay.
Yeah, I'm always a fan of the mom and pop. But if you're a big business like Borders and the rest of them, I don't feel bad for you. Step your game up.
No, you know? Well, Amazon came in and tried to buy Borders. They gave them money. They helped them out towards the end. They were really, really trying to save Borders. And Borders refused to take the advice that was being given to them from the Amazon higher ups. So they were like, look, dude, you're drunk. Let me drive. No, I got this. And they drove it off the cliff. That's Borders' fault. Mm-hmm. Amazon did try to keep it open because they saw what Barnes & Nobles were doing with their combination, and they tried to help them, and Borders was hard-headed.
Yep.
So that's not, you can't blame Amazon. They tried.
Jody, if you're waiting for to be invited to say something, you're going to be there all night, mate. You just dive in. Get your elbow
back. Okay.
Girl, all right. What you got to say?
Well, you know, I live in a really rural area. I mean, I live on a dirt road. So as far as, like, Amazon, we have no choice. We have... Most of the choices that we have, like we have a Walmart. Everybody has a Walmart. But everything's mom and pop. In fact, there's a big Amish community where that we can buy, like, you know, their butter that they churn in those, you know, bucket things. And, I mean, grass-fed cows. And, you know, in rural America out here in the Midwest, there are no big brick and mortars. There, you know, you get stuff from little people. So it just is in the big cities that the problem is.
So, I mean, do you get Amazon deliveries there?
Yes.
And do you get Prime? Do you get it next day even though you're out in the sticks?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They can do that. I don't know how they do it, but they do.
Well, they've got some Amish people probably running a warehouse for them.
Yeah, probably. I would imagine.
Counting packages by candlelight.
Yeah. Well, when I drive out in the sticks, and I have to dodge those horse and buggies when I drive, and it's scary because some of them get killed sometimes.
took all the fun out of the story.
What?
I'm sorry, but... I'm gonna have to listen to the back to the show, because that's gonna be one of the, and that's the best joke on I moments, because as Jody started speaking there, I moved, and for some reason my audio feedback pack changed channels, so I got none of that, and then I come back and all you buggers are laughing.
Oh man, she sent a black hole in this chat.
it's all gone black.
I really struggle with that story, Doc, I have to say, because I love Amazon. I love what they provide. People say to me, the lady that Jack's mom that used to work for me, she comes around here and helps clean the place. And she said, Jack says, you just buy everything on Amazon. I'm like, I could search around for an hour to save £3. And when it comes down to it, if I buy it from Amazon, I know it's going to be here tomorrow. And if there's anything wrong with it, I can just go, there's something wrong with it. And they go, okay, send it back. That's it. And that's worth £3 to me every day of the week.
Yeah.
And
I've had people have trouble with the marketplace on Amazon, where the marketplace is where that, and I don't know if you have it there or not, but the marketplace is where that it's little vendors. And I've had people where that they weren't getting their stuff back, and it took them like months to get it back from the marketplace. So I know that that's different.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, well, yeah, no, that's worrying then, because I've never had a problem returning anything at all with them. The only problem I've actually had is the place at the corner of the street does, it's one of the drop-off centres, the newsagents down the end of the road, and I've got in with a package, and they're like, no, he's just been, we're not keeping it. You offer a drop-off service, you either offer the drop-off service, or you bloody don't, and I've complained about them twice now, and I know they've got a bollocking off it, but...
Anyway, sorry, dude. I got to run. I have an emergency I got to go take care of.
Oh, okay. Are you going to be back? Or?
Hopefully.
Okay.
Depends on how fast I can get this knocked out.
All right. I hope all's well, mate. No worries. Anyway. Thanks, man.
A lot.
See you, Doc.
Well, there's a first. I need to change the shot now. That's totally thrown me. Here we go. There's Righty. And the shot at the back. And don't worry, I can edit.
That word?
What was that, bollocks?
Edit.
Yeah, you've never heard me say, well, you've heard me say it lots, but I never actually do it.
Yeah, I don't do it either.
Yeah, edit's an ironic word that you use in a show, but you don't actually do.
Apparently so. I keep changing stuff here, but it's not making any difference. There we go. Oh, blimey. Jody thought we were all professional. Who's missing line two? There we go.
Where'd I go?
We need Righty. Hang on, where's the Righty? There's Righty. Job done. Here we go. There we go. See? All profesh.
Big.
Ish. Who dropped another story in then?
I gave it a go, didn't I?
Did you? You gave us a go. Go on then, mate. Go on, start us off. What's your one?
Well, I was sitting there I don't know if it was yesterday or a couple of days ago, but I went to favourite a tweet on Twitter. And there wasn't a star there. There was a heart there. And Twitter's now gone to the like thing, like Facebook has.
Oh,
and
what?
The favorite thing has died. So if you actually look at Twitter now, you can't favorite anything anymore. You can just heart it. And I was like, oh, what the hell's going on there? So I did a little bit of reading up, and they're trying to be more like Facebook because like is the new thing apparently. And I thought. I like Twitter because Twitter's Twitter. I don't want Twitter to be like Facebook. It's I don't go on Facebook because my mum's on there. That's the reason I don't use it. And then I don't want to be like that. And then I looked at it because they've had the quarterly earnings coming out. And in the last quarter, Twitter only increased their user base by 1.3%.
But when you're talking 2.5 billion people, that's enough.
Yeah, but... Yeah. Not when Facebook's boasting 1 billion active users a day now, which they've announced this week.
Unbelievable. But
their stocks now, since May, their stock's fallen by 40%. And I love Twitter. It's the platform that I use. And like today, we did the big opening of our center at UEA, and everyone was using Twitter to promote it and hashtag and all that sort of thing. And I'm just thinking... Twitter's not growing as fast as things like Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, and all those sort of things. And they're not monetizing it in the way that they need to. I'm just worried that 1.3% over a quarter is Twitter really looking at a slow death, really? And what do they really need to do to kind of entice new users to it?
I don't know if Twitter is gonna. I get what you're saying. I think one of the problems that Twitter has is Facebook can easily attract all genres of users. They can get the kids, they can get the news people because they want people to communicate with them there. They can get old folks, they can get middle-aged folks. Now that, as many people, businesses use Twitter, I don't see them getting like the older folks to use Twitter. You know what I mean? And I think that's probably where they're lacking the ability to grow. Because, yeah, sure, you'll have more kids growing up and jumping on Twitter. But Facebook spans so many more folks that, there's just people they can continue to grow with.
I don't know if it's an age thing, though, Chris.
Huh?
I don't know. I mean, actually, Jody probably is far better qualified to tell us about this than I am.
Sure.
But I think it's a use process. It's not an age thing. You have people of all ages on Twitter, and I think the thing with, I love Twitter, I don't want to be anywhere else. I couldn't give a toss about Facebook.
People over 50 are not on Twitter unless you're a geek.
Well, I think that's what I think they're one and the same. You know, is what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Where people over 50 will be on Facebook, but they won't be on Twitter. Yeah, I love Twitter. It's my favorite. You know, I never go to Google Plus anymore. I tried it. It was lame. But Twitter's where I go all the time. But I teach old people on Facebook. Nobody wants to go to Twitter if they're over 50.
Yeah,
and they don't. They can't grasp the concept of what it is and what it's for, or even how to get there.
Yeah, the use case for Twitter: quick post. Here's what I'm doing. Connect with people. Get information out quickly. I don't think that's going to suit all the ages, which was the parallels that I was bringing there. So.
Yeah. Okay. And maybe that then comes back to your point, Jody, that. When I say it's a use case, those people don't want that kind of interaction at that kind of level, at that kind of speed.
They don't understand it. They don't understand it. That they say, how do you do Twitter? Well, you just do it. They don't understand, just do it.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
So, but on the other side of that now, the fact that the news uses Twitter to get their information, especially when there's a live event going on or some kind of disaster, they monitor Twitter as hard as anything else. I don't think they're going anywhere either.
Hopefully not.
Mac Vader says, I don't like Facebook. It's Twitter for me. Sometimes I go to Facebook, but not a lot. I had a Twitter account for many years. Totally unused, says Serenek. I didn't get the point.
I stayed off Facebook for so long. I tell this story all the time. And then I was able to locate my niece, who I hadn't heard from in 18 years, on Facebook. So I never will have a bad thing to say about Facebook. That wouldn't have happened without Facebook.
Yeah, that's cool.
Do older people get Facebook far more then, Jody?
Yes. They can learn Facebook because it's like a slower pace, because they can like add friends. They don't have to just like tweet in the dark and hope someone says something back. That's what they don't get. They're afraid. They're afraid of people. They use Facebook, and if I show them how to do it, I have to make sure lock all their settings. Only friends of friends can see their stuff. They are afraid. They are afraid of someone getting them, and that's why one reason why that they. I have a lot of people that don't even use Facebook. They won't use anything. But then the ones that do use Facebook, they make sure it's just like their grandkids or their immediate friends. I don't have a lot of them that just, will look for classmates, or they just don't do a lot of stuff. They do enough to communicate with their immediate family.
Okay. Yeah, I do understand now you said that, the immediacy of Twitter, because it is, based on the number of people that you follow, I started to struggle to see every single message after I passed 250 people that I follow. Now I'm up to 350, I think. And, if anyone's following me on Twitter and they want a conversation, I'll follow them back. Absolutely. I just don't want people that are there to sell me something. So the followers that I've got, I'll quite happily reciprocate if they want to talk to me. But if I do, sometimes I'll go back through my emails and I'll see that someone's mentioned me, and I'll be like, and I feel dreadful that I haven't replied to that person. So I go back and find them and reply to them deliberately. But it does run at a pace, so I do kind of understand that. But Facebook?
Twitter feels transient, whereas Facebook for communication feels a little more static. And it's that email. Probably makes a lot of people feel more comfortable.
Facebook is a lot closer to email.
Yeah, and I think going along the same lines of what you just said, it's really an accessibility thing. You know, with Twitter, you tend to start out the gate very accessible by anyone, as opposed to Facebook, where you're more accessible just by the people you know personally.
Yeah.
Correct.
I've got to say as well, come sort of 2-3 o'clock in the morning, if I'm stood out on a railway line and it's kind of like, it's getting a bit cold, I'll check my phone, there's nothing happening at the moment, and I pull the phone out. If Twitter's quiet, there's a bit of me kind of gets a bit lonely, and that's hard.
Yeah.
No, oh. Really. I'm serious.
Oh, mate. I'll set an alarm. I'll send you a Twitter at 3 in the morning.
Thanks, man. That's true, friends. No, but I really like, if Twitter's down and I've got nothing to do, I'm just kind of like a little bit lost sometimes. That's a bad thing, isn't it? It's all over.
You are a true addict.
I am, yeah, okay. I don't. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do isn't tweet, I have to say. It's open my iPhone and switch my radiator on in the office.
Okay. Siri, set alarm. 3 a.m. Tweet Ewan.
You're going to regret that. Because that's actually going to go off.
Yeah, my wife's going to kill you.
Can't you set up an if this then that thing? If Ewan's location is remote in Devon, set an
and
alarm.
And you are awake.
Yeah, and his phone isn't showing as being off. Yeah. Good story, mate. Good story. What else have we got as a story then? Someone throw something in the chat room. Let's talk about it.
Smart TVs.
Oh, go for it,
TV Cody. Technology. Old people with TVs. I just got through installing a 55-inch OLED Samsung system plus the crystal surround sound. I mean, I bolted it to the wall. I did everything for this 80-year-old. It was me and an 80-year-old doing it. So, and it's because they don't trust anybody. They don't understand the technology. They don't understand what the smart mean. So it's just, that's a whole other technology that I have trouble with old people. And the reason why, you know, I'm like installing TVs is because they can't even understand that.
So, I mean, the good thing about TVs, though, is they're as smart as you want them to be. If you want to just hang them on the wall and stick an HDMI in through to your cable box, then that's all it needs to be. If you want to start sticking an Ethernet cable in and then start interacting with the web a lot more and looking for the Samsung TV apps, etc., that's a whole...
Well, the problem with my people is they come with their RCA cables and try to stick that somewhere, and it doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. Stick it somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
That's just
I have a question for you on that regard. Are you finding a lot of those folks taking advantage of the smart TV features and, more importantly, the cord cutting capabilities that are starting to exist now and jumping on the Netflix and the Amazons out there? Is that something that's taking off?
Cutting the cord.
Very slow.
More like a catheter thing.
Oh, God.
Sorry. God, sorry, mate.
So anyway, they're really slow to adapt, but usually I get them started and they just, for them to see HD, because they're used to their analog signal, they're used to the old kind of screen, and then when they see high definition, they just actually get blown away by that. And then they're so enthralled, like when I do a surround system or that I can put a big subwoofer behind them and have the sound like that. I mean, they absolutely love the technology. They're afraid of it, but I have to do things in steps. I'll get them started with TVs and things, and I'll put it up. I'll get the signal. I'll show them how wonderful it is. Then I'll come back a month later and say, okay, now we can do the smart part. Do you want more? Do you want to see more movies? Do you want to hear more explosions, see more? And they love it. They like it a lot.
Yeah, because I'm going to imagine that a lot of these folks are on a budget and have a direct need to save that money. You know, they're on a fixed income and, you know, being able to cut out maybe some high cable costs and do some do Netflix, I think would be a huge advantage for them.
Well, the problem also is here is that I have a lot of people that, you know, there is no cable. That's not there. It's satellite only. So, you know, for them to cut out, you know, some of it, the people that I have that have Comcast, or if they have like DSL, they can do it. But when I have them with, you know, like DirecTV, basically just hooking up DVRs and getting them, you know, to be able to do some things with that, because some places where I am, satellite is all they have, even for internet. And because all satellite is metered here, they can't stream. There's no way.
Right, sure.
Someone in the chat has put in that the Dish Network delivered Google says, that's pissed everyone off who's got Google. Right there, sorry, that's why I've just realised they put that in the chat room. There was a username, okay, Google. Dish Network delivered my Hopper HD DVR with RCA cables. He did not even have an HDMI cable on the truck.
Yeah.
That sounds normal.
Terrific.
And when I dropped DirecTV, and I still think they're the best out of all the content providers, but I just got tired of the nickel and diming and stuff like that. You know, you can't, you know, before you'd get two or three HDMI cables, and now you can't even get one, you know, with these guys. And I get it's all about the shareholders, but man, if I don't have to feel the brunt of that, then I don't want to feel it.
Sorry.
I get all my HDMI cables at the hardware store. They're cheaper.
Yeah, it's amazing how cheap Ethernet cables and HDMI cables are at Home Depot.
Right.
Yeah. Now, you know, it's
cheaper than everywhere else. From
is Radio Shack. And I had a rude awakening the other day. I went to go look for a mini display port to HDMI cable at Staples. Uh-huh. They didn't have one. And I walked down the street because right in the same shopping center was a Radio Shack. And I saw nothing but an empty building. And I forgot they went out of business. It just smacked me right in the face.
They're gone. Yeah.
I have good memories of Radio Shack from being a kid.
Love them.
Yeah, it was great. I remember when they first got the TRS-80s in the store, and my parents at the time couldn't afford to buy me a computer. So when my mom would go grocery shopping, I'd go with her so I could walk over to Radio Shack, and I'd just sit there and play around on the TRS-80 and started coding. They kicked me out of the store because I was writing apps on their TRS-80, and no one understood what the machine was in their store, and they were certain whatever I was doing, it had to be really bad. So I got banned from Radio Shack as a kid for programming on the TRS-80s.
Cool.
Gone.
You should wear that like a badge.
Oh, I do.
That's great.
I have got a story. I don't want to do a My Cat's Blacker thing at all, Jeff, with you there, but I did go into a radio stack with my cousin. I'll tell you a story after the show's finished. So
I'm looking forward to hearing.
Remind me. The smart TV thing. I mean, how far do people actually go? Your septuagenarians and octogenarians. How far do they go with a smart TV, Jody?
Usually, Amazon Prime and Netflix is about it.
Okay.
On the smart part. But usually you don't get much more than that anyway, if it's like a Samsung or something.
Well, the Samsung TV has got an awful lot of apps, but most of them are bloody Chinese or something that you can't get anyway, so.
Right.
good story, mate. Is the market, are these people calling you because they have no choice but to buy a smart TV, or have they got it thinking they get more than they actually get, you know?
I don't know. I have no idea how people find me. They just find me, and I've had some people come to my house. I have, what do I have, 6 TVs. I have 6 Apple TVs. I've got Dolby Digital surround sound in my living room. I've got, you know, the simulated surround with a 55-inch plasma in my media room. I have all this stuff, and then when they come here, they see it, and they want it. So I guess it's, in a way, advertising for myself, and then I'll say, oh, yeah, I can help you with that. So. And then word gets around that I did it. And then, you know, here, word of mouth is huge. So people just find me, and I end up doing that because, you know, besides Best Buy, which is 30 miles one way from here, they don't have any other choice. And they don't trust them.
Well, who the hell would trust
After hearing Best that Buy? Inventory, Jody, will you be my sugar mama?
Yeah, I know. I get my new Apple TV tomorrow. But see, I do pad parties at people's house. So I come, you know, I teach at the college here in high school, and then I'll have a lot of people where that they'll book me for a pad party. And what I do is that they bring all their iPads or their iPhones or something to one of the ladies' house. And then I come with my Apple TV. I'll hook it up to their TV. And then I'll use it as like a projection device through my Apple TV so that even under AirPlay, they can come on. And I do teaching classes in people's houses that way.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Richard in the chat room just mentioned my absolute biggest wish is I actually want the opposite, which is a dumb TV, because I run everything through my Xbox, and I don't need Netflix and all that jazz on the TV. And I really wish they would provide an option to do that, much like back in the day when he used to sell the cell phones without a camera on it.
Yeah, but that said, you haven't read the rest of Rich's statement, which is he wants HDMI all over the place on it. So it's like cake and eat it there. I mean, that's, I want it to be dumb, but it's got to do digital, right?
Well, yeah, it's got to be digital. And definitely
no apps, HDMI ports, but I want it to be dumb.
I don't, my TV supports all that smart features. I've never used a single one of them.
Now, you do know as well that Microsoft do an HDMI to coax, don't you? To OCR.
I don't know if I've seen HDMI to coax.
Yeah,
I
guess they do an HDMI to coax, because I was on Cord Killers with Tom Merritt and Brian Brushwood, and he put that up as a story when they released it.
Wow!
And I took the piss out of him, so I went rotten for it. But it was an HDMI to coax. Yeah.
Never seen that.
On the outs right now. Nice, no, I'm just kidding.
A dumb TV. Jeff, tell us, you got a story, dude.
I do, and I have three to choose from now. Do we want to talk about the investigatory powers bill? Do we want to talk about Facebook Notify, or do we want to talk about OneDrive getting cut off at the knees?
Well, you can't call OneDrive off, because I think that's Chris's story.
Yeah, you can take it. Okay, though. I can always.
No. Let's don't do Facebook either. Let's
okay,
do the well investigatory powers story, then. That sounds more like we can get upset over it, at least.
All right. And I'd have a link for you, but I'd...
But you can't be bothered.
I can't be bothered. That's what it is.
The local TV station cancelled at short notice, and you can't be bothered.
Yeah, story of my life. Anyhow,
I'll get on with
so
it,
here's
Jeffrey.
One of my big concerns about the bill, which is that assuming it passes, it sets a precedent where ineffective encryption becomes a standard around the world, and all countries will then expect that. And so right now the UK is in the position where it can dictate the future of encryption for everyone on this planet.
That might be, I'm flattered, don't get me wrong, but that might be over-egging our powers just a little bit. Because it's not, the EU would have that power maybe, but not the UK government.
Can you back up a little bit and explain the bill and who's putting the bill forth?
Yeah.
All right, so the Investigatory Powers Bill is in Parliament in the UK right now. And it's being debated. And what it does is it creates a limit where you can have encryption on your tech devices, but it must be done in such a way that it can be easily decrypted by the companies that created that. And then the British government can then go to those companies and say, hey, we need all the data from Chris's cell phone, unencrypt it and give it to us. And then your cell provider's like, yeah, all right, here's all the data from his phone, no problem. That's a very simplified version of what it is.
So the obvious reasons against creating anything with security with an automatic backdoor to it is obvious, I'm sure, to everyone on this. But what is their argument against what is obvious to us? Or have they stated that? So basically what I'm asking is, we know if you create a backdoor, it can be exploited. What are they saying about that?
from what I'm seeing, they're saying, oh, no, it's not going to be a problem because it's not like everyone's going to have this. But no, you make a back door and it's there. It's not, exactly. It's not like a back door that's transient and is only there when the government wants it. It's just always there. So, yeah. So what I see is a proposed legislation package that essentially kills effective encryption, but then sets a precedent because if it passes in the UK, I mean, the United States is pretty much in lockstep with what the UK is doing right now for encryption and privacy laws. So the United States will just fall right in line and push their bill through. I mean, the White House supports having laws like this, which is just insane. So so if the UK does it, the United States would be right behind. But then also, if the UK does it, then what happens to companies that need to actually make the products, like Apple and Google and Samsung and HTC? Are they going to make different versions of their phone for the UK than they make for the rest of the world? Or are they just going to make the phone that has crappy encryption and distribute it around the world? And my guess is it would be the crappy phone all around the world.
Well, the other thing, they could put themselves on the opposite side of that. They could put themselves in a hole because they could have that requirement, but the rest of the country is not, and not want to communicate with them with governmental information or private company information, knowing that back hole exists. So they could also put themselves in a bind trying to pass that.
All that it would take is for Apple to say, we will no longer sell phones in the UK. That would be the end of the story.
Well, I've thought about that, and I don't know, because if Apple...
Now it causes a riot.
We'll stop selling in the UK, then the UK can come back and say, all right, then stop selling in our country. And then Apple would have to, and now Apple loses a lot of income because they're not selling in the UK. They now face lawsuits from shareholders, and then the next country that enacts a similar law, Apple's in a position, or Google or whoever, where they would have to then follow suit and stop selling in that country as well. And at some point, these companies will be hurting really bad because there won't be any countries where they can sell their products.
I don't think it would get that bad. I mean, you hear Tim Cook. Tim Cook is an advocate for privacy. Tim Cook says he's not going to do it. When the United States government came to him and said, you know, hey, we need a back door, that he told him to take a hike. So I'm hoping that they would make a stand because this is something that's so important. And I think the revolt of the people, which is what it would take, were great in numbers, that would be our only chance and our only choice to make this stop, this nonsense.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be up to the people. It's going to be up to the companies. Is it, you know, that's where
all hopefully not. We're great in numbers. It's like, you know, you guys, we're in an oligarchy now. It's been, you know, in your country also. And here, where companies are in charge, they're the ones that run everything. But, you know, we have someone here in this country who's running, trying to take that back. Hopefully, you know, something will happen where we can.
Politically, America's... I would say America is far worse than the UK.
Yeah, it sucks.
In terms of finance and big businesses, interactions and so on. The UK's got its own problems, don't get me wrong. But I think also there's a certain element of, I'm not wishing to say life imitating art, imitating life here, but if you look at the new series of Homeland, one of the principles that they're talking about there is about the German government spying on its own people, but because they've got a law that says they can't spy on their own people, they get the US to spy on Germans for them and then tell them what they're
saying. That's clever.
Yeah, which is great. But there's a bit where the journalist who's exposed this says, you can't do this. This is an episode one, so this is not a spoiler. But says, you can't do this. And the girl that's sitting with her, who's from the German intelligence, says, yes, but we're not tracking everybody. We're tracking the people that have gone to Syria to be trained as terrorists, and we're knowing what they're doing. And you've probably cost us thousands of lives because of the fact that we now can't track them anymore because all of their signals have disappeared since you released the story. And that's where there's a bit of me that sits and thinks, I know my government is doing it for the right reasons, and probably it's doing something that's right in terms of maintaining the good. What I don't have what I'm not okay with is the fact that they're doing it without a process of judicial oversight. And then when you talk to governments now, and this is true in America, it's true in Germany, it's true in the UK, is that there's a definite message from the politicians that says that this is too serious an issue to rely on judicial oversight. And that scares the shit out of me, because judicial oversight of the legislature is important in every country across the planet if you really want democracy. But I also get the fact that the judiciary is out of phase by a millennia in terms of technology and in terms of understanding about what the powers are and what the necessity is of decryption of terrorist messages, etc. is all.
It's because they're old people.
Yeah, and well, no, I don't think it's just that. I think it's old people who aren't interested, or old people who haven't got the capability to understand more. There's plenty of old people out there who have. The problem comes from the fact that the judiciary needs serious reform to get people who are astute and can integrate with the governments and the legislature to make sure that anti-terrorism definitely works. And that's the root problem that needs fixing, but the government cannot and must not dive in and say we can bypass the judicial process in order to make the right decision, because it probably is the right decision and they're probably doing it the right way. But I'm sorry, chaps, you can't just do it. You've got to go through the process, otherwise we're in anarchy.
Okay, so another thing that I find fascinating about this bill and similar legislation in the United States is that it's the big companies that are coming to our defense. As you know, you'd think it would be the government having to protect us from big business, but no, it's Apple, it's Google, it's Microsoft. These are the companies that are coming to the defense of the average person. And who would have ever imagined, even 20 years ago, that it would be the big businesses that are acting as our voice and as our champions right now. I can't imagine, no, wrong words. I cannot remember ever reading a science fiction story about our dystopian future where the corporations were actually the agents that were acting on our behalf and in our best interest on anything.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing what we want, but are they doing that for the purposes of PR, or are they doing it for the purposes of the fact that it's the right thing to do?
It depends on the company, I think.
Well, I think if you look in the chat room, there's a good point here being made by I need to find it, Deepan. He says the beginning of the end for BlackBerry was when they granted the backdoor in for enterprise servers to the Indian government. They lost all credibility for enterprise security from that point forwards. And I think that's what everyone's got in their mind far more than the fact that they want to do the right thing and look after the people of the world. You know, it's easy to say that's what I want to do, when actually what you want to do is protect your own interests. So my belief is that 90% of the people that are in the world are good people. They're really good individuals who want to do the best thing for the human race and for their own society. 10% don't. And 10%, you know, some of those 10% people go to prison, and some of those 10% make it into the White House. But when it comes, who's that? It's not me.
That was me, sorry.
All right, okay. It sounded like it was in here, though. You know, some of those criminals get what they want, and some of those criminals are in power and they get what they want. But the majority of the actions that are taken by the British police force, the majority of actions that are taken by the government are for the positive. They're for the good as an intention. And you can't stop that happening, but you have to make sure that that power is not abused, because power is far more abused than money ever is.
Agreed.
Yep. Yeah.
Security sells products, fear sells products, and technic companies are catching on both fronts now, says Deepan. Good point. Really good point. Really good point. Chris, you picked the story about Microsoft and the cloud. Tell us more.
Yeah, so Kim Kardashian tried to break the internet And then I guess Amber Rose is trying to break the internet with their magazine covers. And now Microsoft tried to break the internet.
I thought the conditions and Amber Rose were sitting on it. Sorry.
But, you know, Microsoft made an announcement this week that they were cutting back, and I have to say significantly, the amount of storage that OneDrive is offering. And it's really disappointing to folks like me who have championed OneDrive as well as gotten other people to start using it just because of how good it was and how much data you could store there. And, you know, and they've basically moved down their free storage from 15 gigs down to 5 gigs. People who had Office 365 and they had unlimited storage are now only going to get a terabyte of storage. And I'm not, you know, terabyte's still a lot of space, but man, it's just a big difference between saying unlimited and here's a terabyte and that's it. And rightfully so, people are pissed off. And it's always bugged me, you know, being a big fan of Microsoft and what they do. The one thing that they always seem to do is shoot themselves in the foot and come out with something that's just really a decision made that makes them look bad. And I never understand it. Now, if you know, Paul Theroux did a great story about it where he actually went back and kind of looked at all the different storage options. And, you know, despite as annoying as the negative press is, which is what bothers me the most, you still can get a pretty good deal with getting that terabyte of storage as compared to the other bigs out there, Dropbox, Google Drive, and Apple iCloud that exists. But it's still very disappointing that you got a great couple of weeks. You got the Surface came out, the Surface Book came out, and then, you know, Windows Phone is about to drop in the next couple of weeks, and then you come out with this ridiculous move that really pisses everybody off.
Well, they gave everyone unlimited storage, and then they were surprised when people actually used it.
Yeah, and
that's crazy. And the salt in the wound, I think, is that the 100 and 200 gig levels that they had, that's getting scaled back to just 50 gigabytes. And they're charging more for that 50 gigabytes than Apple charges for 50 gigabytes on iCloud Drive. So, you know, if you are overpricing yourself compared to what Apple's doing for cloud services, you have failed.
Apple's way over.
Yeah. Apple's doing $1 per month. I think Microsoft is doing $2 a month for it.
So when does this kick in? Is it immediate or is this in the future?
It's a year-long phase out. Yeah,
exactly. Some of the stuff will be phased in. So the folks, one of the main things they cited as the reason they were doing this was they were saying that some people had actually uploaded all their videos and, you know, stuff and were using up to, like, what did they say, 75?
75 terabytes.
Terabytes of data. But it's like, how many people are uploading 75 terabytes of data? It cannot be the same, you know, the majority of people. It's got to be the outliers that have it. But it's unlimited. So that's what you want.
Well, even if three of them are doing it, it's still a shitload.
It is, but compared to, you know, the fact that you have, they're probably still paying for Office 365. And, you know, to be truthful, OneDrive was never the selling point for buying Office 365. I have an Office 365 account. OneDrive never even crossed my mind when I paid for it. So it was kind of a bonus that they added the unlimited storage to it. But they're still making money, and you probably have somebody out there telling other people to use it, as I did. So I think in the long run, I'm not sure what the OneDrive team has been doing, but they, you know, they've been doing a lot of shakeups over there. But, you know, they changed the way OneDrive syncs to Windows, and really, to me, they crippled it for one of the best features that OneDrive had, which was the placeholder files. So, you know, between that they removed, now the dropping the storage down, you know, I don't know what's going on with this team.
You know what, the question that I have about it, it's like, you know, AT&T, I have unlimited data with AT&T, and it's because I've had them forever, and at first it was unlimited, and then when everyone started using it, then they didn't give unlimited anyway. or to any of the new people. So I've been grandfathered in. How can they, you know, when you first had the first people that got the account, how can they say unlimited and then they're using it and then take it away without getting in trouble for doing that because they just reneged on that? So, you know, AT&T, they like left people who were grandfathered in to use unlimited. They didn't grandfather anybody in. They just pulled the rug out. What's the legality of that? How can they do that?
Well, yeah, it'll be interesting because AT&T did get in trouble because they were crippling the people that were on unlimited. And I don't know that Microsoft is crippling the service as opposed to getting rid of it. So
right. But still, it's still, they said unlimited, then they completely took it away. That's even worse. So I don't know how they can, you know, get away with it.
I'm willing to bet that when you accept the terms of service, something in there says they have the right to change it at any time.
I was just about to say that. There's a right of amendment in all contracts.
Yeah, like you read off 50 pages, right?
No, I don't know. I didn't even read one.
That defense won't hold up in a court of law, Jerry. Sorry, mate.
Right.
Yeah. Logical, but as opposed to what AT&T was doing, which was horrible, which is, you know, after you reach a certain amount, then they were slowing you down. That's just terrible.
Yeah, but they didn't just say, okay, well, sorry, you're out of here. You have no more unlimited. They didn't do that. I still have unlimited.
Yeah.
They just didn't take it away because, you know, if I signed up for a plan that was unlimited and then they would say you can't have it anymore, isn't that like a breach of contract if that's what I signed up for?
Understand what they were doing, though. They said, oh, yeah, we'll let you keep your unlimited data, but if you go past 2 gigs, we're going to cripple the speed.
Right. Yeah. I got $50 in a class action lawsuit for that. Big deal.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it's not the money. It's the point of it. Right. Like, here's the service, but you can't use it to its full extent. To me, that's way worse than saying we're going to change the service, even though I can't stand what either company did. You know what I mean? But if you're going to say I'm going to unlimited, then let me have unlimited, you know, or take it away. Don't say it's unlimited to, you know, to not be shunned in the media, but then cripple the service on the back end. To me is just even more disingenuous.
My understanding of that class action was the fact that the contract specifically said that they reserved the right to change the amount of unlimited, but they didn't specify that they would throttle the speeds, and that's where it won.
Yeah.
They did the wrong thing. They tried to let you have your unlimited, but they'd limit you to the amount of speed that you could have. But actually, when it came down to it, that they'd shot themselves in the foot because what they should have just said is, right, bollocks, you're down to 2 gig now. And you couldn't have done a thing about it at that point.
Right.
But Chris is right. You know, Microsoft has been in such a role lately, you know, with all their new announcements and all that. They look like a company on the ascendance. And I was kind of like, oh, because, you know, they're really coming alive again. And you take it because we had a chat on the show last week where I'm wholly entrenched in OneDrive and I paid for it. Why go up so high and then take away one of the best services that they have?
And that's the piece that bugs me the most.
Yeah, it's to pull the rug from under you straight away. It's like, you know, get all these new Windows 10 devices and that sort of thing, and one of the most useful services is OneDrive, and then turn around and say, okay, you're going to lose all of your storage.
How many people are actually invested in the cloud, though? Because I'm not, and I couldn't care less about the cloud. I put stuff up to a server that my clients can have access to, and I send them a link saying, if you want the stuff I made for you, here's a library, you can download it whenever you want. But actually, I've got all of those files myself. I do that as a service to my customers. I don't do it as a fact of necessity. And I couldn't give a shit about the cloud, because I want everything on drives, locked away, in my office, with a replete backup down the road, and that's what I trust. I don't trust the cloud at all. I never have, and I never will. I'm sure.
I'm wholly invested in OneDrive. That is my backup solution.
I'm invested in OneDrive.
It's a backup. As a backup, though, it's not the thing.
Let me tell you.
No one trusts the cloud.
It's more than a backup, though, for me, because I'll give you a perfect example of how I use OneDrive. That's very important for me. And I have all my pictures from my phone that I take automatically go to OneDrive, and they sync on my computer. So I have a local copy. I have a backup in OneDrive, but my wife also takes pictures, and, you know, oftentimes we go to events separately, or she takes pictures on her phone and I catch a different angle, and she's always asking me for those pictures. Well, because one of the new features that they added in OneDrive, they finally got it right, is the ability for me to not only share a folder to her But when she shares that folder, she can actually just say, make this folder a part of my OneDrive. So anything she adds to that folder, pictures of my daughter, I automatically get now, and vice versa. You know what I mean? So it really helps in that, you know, it just in something that we do all the time, which is we always take pictures separately, because I do the drop-offs in the morning, she does the pickups, you know, so there's always different angles that come up. And I get what you're saying, and I don't knock anybody that's, you know, that's not down with the cloud. But when they started announcing all the OneDrive stuff they could do, I went all in, because they're like, this is perfect, you know. Yeah, and I
know it's costing you a fortune. That's my point entirely.
I even started to cancel my computer backup, because I didn't need it anymore. OneDrive handled everything. You know, I had a crash plan for $50 a year.
And it still does. I don't need it. But for a price.
Yeah. But this is disappointing. And not to me so much for the loss of space, because the reality is I have tons and tons of data up there. I'm not even near, you know, some of the most egregious users. But still, I don't like to see when you're on a roll, you do something that gives, because they don't get the benefit of the doubt in the press at all. And when you truly do something negative that you deserve to get a beating for, that's not going to help your cause either.
No, it's not. Wow. I use Dropbox every day. It is a critical part of how I function.
Dropbox charges me a fortune, and week before last, I need to send a rather large file. It was 2.6 gig to a customer, so I set it uploading, and I left it on. I had caffeine running so that the computer wouldn't shut down, and the screen wouldn't go, and it wouldn't do anything like that. It uploaded the whole thing. It took it hours to upload it. The transfer rate was bollocks. It was utter crap. And when the customer read it, they said it cuts out after 12 minutes. I was like, thanks, Dropbox, you've corrupted the file as well as you charged me $100 for the privilege. Thank you very, very much. And I don't trust them anymore. I've lost it. And when I tweeted out, at Dropbox is a pain in the ass, it doesn't work anymore, they didn't give a shit. They didn't reply to me. They didn't say, how can we keep you? That we want to keep you $100. It's like, get us another sucker. I hate it.
Yeah. Yep. That would make me mad too.
Yeah.
That I would be really pissed about that. Yep.
How do you corrupt a video file and the video file still plays but cuts out at 12 minutes? That's some going, I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's some pretty impressive work to make that happen.
We've had some reviews. Thank you if you've bothered to sit and write a review. It means an awful lot to us. If you go to iTunes and you want to stick a review in, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. You can write what you want. We're not trying to badger you to give us a 5-star. If you want to give us a 1-star, it's okay. Just don't call us names, as one person did, which you'll find out about tomorrow if you come listen to the Max Show. He's getting both barrels. A couple of reviews. First one comes from Brett750, and he says, sometimes dull, sometimes infuriating, sometimes milk shooting out of your nose, hilarious. Many of the usual subjects turn up each week with a new malady, gadget, or strong opinion. Good stuff if you're looking for a BBC-style tech report, then Google BBC Tech Report. Big Show. Its loose format is governed by the esprit de corps, be it be up or down or all-round disclaimer. If you're in a bad mood, then I suggest you go somewhere else. And we've got a new review system that Paul Wheatley's crafted for us, because we had Comment Cast, but Comment Cast stopped working bloody ages ago. But we've got a few from Canada that we missed. I do apologise all those Canadians that are out there, all the Canucks. 61 Redbug said, does the Big Show on the British Tech Network deserve 5 stars? I wouldn't listen and watch to it every week like clockwork if there wasn't something enjoyable to hear and review and view. If it wasn't now, if only the host and I had the same interest in BBC daytime dramas. I get that one. Okay. And King of Comedies put down, most you hear the take of panel on top stories from the latest week of technology announcements in amongst all its hilarity and frivolity. There are regular hosts, but also irregular hosts, and as people's schedules get in the way of particularly participating in this labour of love, I wonder if Ewan is going to see this review, and I hope it helps show the show rise in the rankings. Thanks, 61 Redbug, for putting that in, because we do appreciate it, mate, and I didn't see it until today, but thank you, Wheaters, for starting this system off, and thank you also to you for posting it, Redbug. We'll have more tomorrow on the Max Show, which There may be some more hilarity that ensues from those, though, however. This show and all the others is brought to you by UK2. We couldn't do the show without them. They give us all of the bandwidth to hold the server. There's 4 terabytes of data up there at the moment that you can go through. You can get shows going right back to the Bagel Tech days in 2009 if you really want. They're all on the server. Thanks for them for hosting for us. They give us our bandwidth. They give us their main name. They give us the storage capacity, unlimited storage capacity, which lets you get back to all of that stuff. So please, 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 if you've got anything for the web that you need, dedicated servers, domain names, co-location services, all that kind of stuff, go to UK2. And if you're in the US, go to 100tb.com. TB? Yeah, 100tb.com. I thought it was tuberculosis. Why am I saying that? 100tb.com, because they've got dedicated servers that you can buy from them that start as little as £139 a month. They're an affiliate company of UK2. We do appreciate your support. Please support them if you possibly can, or tweet out and just say thanks for supporting the British Tech Network, because we'd be lost without them, we really would. We've got some fantastic services coming your way, as well as in the next couple of weeks. And as Andy Vaughan has been doing a bit of work in the back room, and he has managed to come up with the Not Quite Live channel. And the Not Quite Live channel is basically the live stream. When you go to the live page, if you click on play during the week when we're not broadcasting, you will get a random show from the past. There you go. And there's some test cards in that which are hilarious, and there's loads of fun to be had. So thanks to Anders for sorting that out. It will be fun. Wheaters has sorted out a review process for us, so you'll be able to see the reviews that we've got in a single place if you want to as well. He's done some sterling work of late. And we will be changing. We'll be doing lots and lots of different things. Life will be getting an awful lot brighter around the off-peak periods, if you like, of BTN. And don't forget your caricatures. Huge thanks to Lyndon and to Martin, who had their caricatures this week. I finally got those done and sent them back to you from the summer. I do apologise for delaying it and those out. If you'd like your own caricature drawn by Len Peralta, then send an email to btncaricatures@gmail.com, and we will get yours organised for you, and you can have your own. That's Dan Rodriguez is right there. And you will also go on the Wall of Shame, which is the entry hall into the studio down here, down the stairs. Lyndon's and Martin's has gone up on there, and it looks stunning. It's superb. Theirs looks a lot less faded than the others that are already up there. I might have to replace those soon. Become a bit expensive. Wonderful. Thank you very much to the people that support us. We'd be lost without people who give of their time free of charge. Thank you, everyone who bothers to try. Right, it's time for the cool thing. It's your turn. Starts off, Mr. Chris Ashley.
As much as I love my Surface Book, this thing of beauty right here, I have trouble telling people to buy it because it's so damn expensive.
What did you buy?
So that's not going to be my thing.
Oh, but what did you buy, though?
I got the third from the top, because I wanted the extra video processor, but I didn't. I couldn't pony up upwards of 3 Gs for it.
So you bought a Surface?
Yeah, the Surface Book. Yeah.
Surface Book 3.
I did buy the Surface Book.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely stunning and awesome. But I'm not going to make that my pick because it's expensive. Okay. And I have a hard time with that. But
I was just thinking of the audio listeners there.
What's that?
I was just thinking of the audio listeners there. That was all. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, that's all good. Sorry. I'm so stupid. I'm holding up my... Well, you know what? Maybe it's make people...
buy one of these. And everybody's driving their cars going, what?
about? Yeah, sorry.
I can only imagine what people think when I say, look what I'm holding up to the camera.
Right. I pulled that. My fault. But what I am going to pick is something that I absolutely love. And a lot of times I come on here, I talk about gaming because I'm a big time gamer. And man, I'm telling you, when I tell you that Microsoft's Xbox Elite wireless controller is awesome, it is absolutely awesome. So I know a lot of pro gamers, they're used to using the SCUF controller. I even recommended the SCUF controller on here before. And, you know, the big difference with these pro controllers is they have paddles on the back so that you can assign the paddles to be different functions. So it may make you more efficient when you're playing, you know, first-person shooters or fighting games. It could make you a lot more efficient. And much like the SCUF controllers, you can have two or four paddles on the back on the new Elite Wireless controller. But the way this thing feels in your hand, it's a little bit heavier, but not heavier where you get tired. It just feels nice and solid in your hand when you're using it. The other thing is that you can change out the sticks. They're magnetic control sticks on the top. They have three different sizes you can choose from. I have big hands, so I use the taller one, so it's much more comfortable for me to use the controller for long periods of time. But my absolute favorite feature on this is that you can program it right from the Xbox. There's an application that you can download from the store, and you can actually program the controller while looking at it from the Xbox, and then it just syncs the settings to the controller, and I find that to be awesome. And the one step they took above what the SCUF controllers do is you can assign a certain function to the paddle on the SCUF controller, but you can't unassign it from the other place that it existed. But on this, you can. So I can say the button pushing down on the left stick, for example, which is considered a button, that's now underneath on one of the paddles. But when I push down on the stick, do absolutely nothing. And that is that single piece right there is what puts it, to me, three steps above the SCUF controller. And the fact that it's $100 cheaper than what I paid for my SCUF. So I'm telling you, if you like gaming, you game for long periods of time, or you do competitive stuff, you've got to check out the Xbox Elite Wireless Controller.
Okay, so you waffled enough. What's the price, mate?
$150 US.
Oh, man. That means I'm going to charge $150 in the UK for that.
Yeah. So.
Is that a bit pricey, do you think?
No, not compared to what the other. I paid $250 for my SCUF.
Right. Okay.
So based on that, and you know, what happens with the SCUF is you start off, you know, they start off like around $150, but by the time you get all the configurations and different stuff, I was in the $250 range, almost $300.
So does it improve your performance? Do you kill more tangos or?
Yes, you would definitely kill more people, hands down. I can't promise you that, but it's definitely going to be a lot more comfortable in your hand. For $150, it's absolutely awesome. So.
You can just see him sat at a meeting in Microsoft going, we'll just put some extra levers on. The geeks will go mad for this. $150, not a problem. We could put 200 on, but no, let's not do that.
Let's get them.
We're already going to charge enough for one bite, one drive, rather. sorry, Chris. Stick us a link in the chat room, mate. Thank you. Yes, Jeffrey, sir. What have you got for us as your cool thing? Do make sure it's clean.
Believe it or not, this time it is clean.
Although
I will say that
£180 in the UK. Sorry, Jeff.
Stars. Whoa, $180.
I'm sorry, dude. $150 US. £180 in the UK if you want to buy this thing. Bollocks to that. That's just highway robbery. We shot Dick Turpin. No, we hung Dick Turpin. Sorry.
Sorry, guys. They put the extra tax on you.
Wow, that just hurts.
That's not good. Sorry. Go for it, mate. What was yours?
Right. Okay. Anyhow, my pick is not going to cost you money this time, Ewan. My pick is a video. And this is all of the trailers from Star Wars The Force Awakens put together into a single video,
yes.
But not just end to end. They've been cut together so that that it's like a really compelling video. It's like the best Star Wars Force Awakens video there is, or trailer there is. And it's the Cinema versus Science guys that put it together. It is absolutely awesome.
Have they not cut it so that it looks like it's actually in the order that the film plays?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yes, it is. It's not in
sequence. I haven't seen it yet, but it kind of feels like that.
They have. No, yeah. So they've taken the land speeder section that comes up to the crashed Federation ship and... The guy goes in the ship. Oh, this is the whole movie right there. Spoiler alert.
It's really neat to watch.
For those of you that are wondering why this isn't on the video feed, I cannot get my laptop to talk to the Wirecast this week, so that's why it's not in here. But yeah. Now, someone said the other week, they said that Luke's not on the poster. And I thought to myself, I reckon Luke is, but I think he's not.
Luke is not
face.
On the poster.
No, Luke is on the poster, mate.
Luke is not on the poster.
You don't think?
I am certain of it. Luke is not the bad guy on the poster.
You don't think?
I am certain.
Well, don't you remember Luke's brief flirtation with the dark side? And don't you remember he always wore black as well?
That's not Luke.
But Luke always wore black.
Yes.
So the guy in the poster's wearing black.
Yes.
We won't know.
I often wear black, and I'm not on the poster either.
And you're a bad guy. So there you go.
That, okay. There is. I believe you are wrong on your supposition, Ewan. Luke is not a bad guy in this.
Maybe, I don't know.
They've intentionally been keeping Luke out of a lot of the footage just to keep the mystery up.
But the black guy puts his hand on top of the old R2-D2, doesn't he? Like he's not friends, you see.
No.
He puts his hand on the top of him.
Yeah, that's a Luke Skywalker, but he's in Jedi robes when he does that. Remember, his dad cut his hand off, so what you're seeing is his robot hand when he puts it on R2-D2.
I think I'm right. Never mind. That's actually pretty good, actually.
I'll accept that you're wrong.
Star Wars The Force Awakens, supercut of all trailers, and it's cut together in the sequence that the movie's probably in rather than the trailers themselves all batting together, which is quite interesting. Don't want to watch the film now, though. I've seen 3 minutes 40. I've seen the whole thing. I'm joking. I'll be in line. Blockbuster. Righty boy, what's your cool thing?
I have one cool thing this week. It's my new toy at work. It's the new 5K iMac. That thing is sick. Absolutely the most beautiful computer I've ever had, and it took a lot of arm bending to get worked apart for me. But today, like I say, we had our big opening and I edited a lot of videos and all that sort of thing, and the management turned around today and said that's a good investment, and it is beautiful. That screen is the most wonderful thing, and I'm streaming the hacked Apple TV screensavers on it as well, and it is the best computer.
Do you really want to admit to that?
No. They don't mind at all. It is absolutely gorgeous. So, yes, very expensive, but my work life is complete.
I looked at one of those when I bought the Mac Pro here for the studio, and I thought to myself, the last thing I need is another screen. But if you need a screen, I suppose it's pretty good.
Exactly. And the new trackpad and the new keyboard, pretty sweet as well.
I don't mind. I haven't tried the new keyboard, but I do like the new trackpad. I'm using it now as I speak, and I thought I'd go back to the mouse after a week, but I haven't. Oh, okay.
It's nice that it's bigger as well. I quite like that it's a lot bigger than the old one as well.
But
it is.
I haven't done an awful lot in Photoshop, I have to say, in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks since I got it. So that may be the acid test. Photoshop may be the undoing of the iPad.
Yeah. Well, I edit 9 4K movies yesterday, and it was.
Oh, it's perfect it's perfect in Final.
You have an incoming call from Doc Rock.
Just in time for a cool thing.
And Doc turns up for the last word. How predictable was that? Jody, what have you got for us as a cool thing, Mrs.?
Well, the cool thing that I found, I've been doing a lot of TV installs. And we have a huge provider here called Comcast Xfinity. And I got one of their new set-top boxes, and it's called an X1 is the model number. And in the X1 has a remote where it's something like Siri, where all you do is push on the microphone and you can talk into the remote and say what channel or where you want to go. And with my seniors, they've been loving that they can do that. So if, people in the U.S. that have seniors with Comcast or Xfinity, that they always have trouble going through the remote, trying to get channels, get the new X1, push on the microphone, and they just have to say, go to channel 3, and it just goes. So it's pretty slick.
Okay. Nice. Good one. Like that. Good pick. Price?
Free.
Brilliant.
It's just an upgrade. They might, if you have an old box anyway, it's just a swap out. But, with the X1, there may be a monthly charge up, like if you didn't have a high definition because it's a HD box, And it's like 10 by 10, and it has, there's no buttons on it. It's all black, and it has this really cool blue light through it that is on all the time. So it's just a black box that shines blue, and it has the HDMI connections in the back. So it's just free for most people.
Excellent.
They have to ask for it. It's the X1.
The X1. Right, got you. Mm-hmm. If you've got a link for it, stick it in the chat room and then okay. get to it. If any of you are saying, oh, you know, where's all the show notes? Where do we get the links for all that kind of stuff? If you go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then click on Thursday the 5th of November, you'll see a complete transcript of everything that went on in the chat room from midnight onwards. So if you're Rob and a couple of the other people that have been sitting in there shooting the shit and typing up messages to each other, you'll see all of their conversations as well as. But yes. You will find all of the links to all of the cool things and all of the stories that we've covered will be on Thursday the 5th of November at britishjournal.com/chat. There we go. And at last, but by no means least, he turns up at the last minute just to get the last word on cool things. Doc, what's your cool thing, mate?
Dude, that's awesome.
That's awful.
This is kind of super geeky, but 'tis the season to be galactic. If you are of the Empire, if you are Rebel Scum, go die in a fire somewhere.
Oh, don't pick Jeff's cool thing.
No, this is the Star Wars Death Star Waffle Maker.
The Star Wars Death Star Waffle Maker.
Yep. You can have evil, deadly waffles every day of the week if you want. This thing is really, really cool because when you, as you can see by the picture, once you load up the little thingy there, you make a waffle, it looks exactly like a Death Star. And doesn't get any nerdier than that. And what a cool way for, you know, someone of our vintage to share with the new vintage, you know, stuff that we like, which was Star Wars, but they're going to get, you know, opportunity from the new movie to get involved in the thing that is Star Wars. And, you know, it gives you something to share with, you know, the old Ellis mate. Like, here, have a Death Star, son.
Here we go. Quick picture. If I can get it to show up. There we go. The Death Star Waffle Maker. Where from and how much?
It's on ThinkGeek, and it's $39.99, so I guess that you guys turn that into about 25 pounds.
So you got to make your own mix for all of this kind of stuff, though, haven't you, then?
Yeah, you know, I just go down and to get the one from either Costco or you guys call it Tesco. Bisquick works great for making waffles, but there's all kinds of waffle mixes. One of my favorites is a Japanese brand. You can buy any store that sells Japanese stuff. You'll see it in a red and yellow package. It's really good waffle mix, but it's kind of cool. Another cool thing is, I don't know if anyone's ever tried this, or if you've ever traveled to Japan or Korea, China, they take the dry mochi, you store it in a waffle maker, and it poofs up really fast, and you get this really nice, flaky mochi waffle, which is maybe one of the best things you'll ever eat, with a little peanut butter or Vegemite, Marmite, whatever.
They also do, I thought this was quite lovely, a R2-D2 ceramic teapot, which looks awesome.
Yeah, that's cool, right?
That really is cool. I fancy that more than I fancy the waffle maker, no question.
This is going to be, I think for the Christmas, like all of the random Star Wars garb, like someone gave me a Stormtrooper cereal bowl, which is somewhere around here, and it literally is one of the coolest things ever. You can just eat out of the top of a Stormtrooper. And so I'm just noticing in all the stores, whether it be here, at least here, whether it's the Target or the Costco or the grocery store, wherever you go, you find all of this random Star Wars memorabilia. They went crazy on licensing this go-around. So look for a lot of more Star Wars stuff coming from people like me and Jeff.
Excellent, mate.
Oh, yes.
My cool thing. And I'm a bit behind. I do accept that. It's not current technology, but I've only got one yesterday and started using it today. And it's the Wemo Insight Switch. So this is a socket that effectively plugs into your socket on the wall, and you put the plug in of an appliance that you want to switch on or off remotely. And this thing ties to your Wi-Fi, and using your iPhone, you can access this thing from wherever you are. Anywhere. It doesn't have to be on the same Wi-Fi or anything like that. So I'm going to hold up my iPhone here and give you a swift demo. So you find the Wemo app on the App Store and you open it up. And there it is. And I'm trying to get it so that you can see this, but I'm struggling a little bit. I've got an oil-filled radiator that's down to the right, the left of me here that warms the studio for me. It's getting a bit close towards the winter months. And the Wemo switch is linked up and it says Wemo heater on it. This morning I woke up at 6:30 and I rolled over before I went for a shower and I clicked on the button here on the Wemo thing, and it switched the radiator on in my office. And then I got my breakfast and then I stumbled off to work, and when I got here the office was piping hot.
Nice.
That's awesome.
It is awesome.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
This thing is £49 if you want to buy it, but if you go on to Amazon, if you go onto Amazon you can get it for £39 at the moment, which is absolutely superb. You cannot beat it. The Wemo Insight Switch. Now, the other thing that's cool is that it's if you buy the normal Wemo switch, you get it for £10 cheaper. But if you buy the Insight Switch, then when you've got the thing open, if you hit the pull down, it actually goes through and it goes to the switch itself and it tells you how much electricity you've been using and how much it's cost you since the last time that you switched the thing on.
Ah.
And it tells you what the estimated monthly costs are going to be of running this radiator as much as you've run it over an average period. There you go.
Dude, if you get a bunch of them together, does it support making seams?
No. But you can use it with this, if this, then that as well. So you can set a ruler that says when I get to the... So you can buy a light switch from Wemo. And the bulb goes into your socket in an entry hallway or something. When you walk home, when you get to a specific GPS location or within a proximity of it, it switches the light on automatically. So I was thinking of Karen, for you, Doc. When she gets home, it would switch the light on for her.
Yeah.
I have two Wemo light bulbs. I have a Wemo crock pot, and I have two Wemo cameras so that when my grandkids are in my media room, I can watch them so they don't tear up my stuff.
Good one. Like that. Nice. Like that.
You and I set up a Wemo switch off of, or for my window air conditioner, because it's not really programmable. And then I use if this, then that to check what the local weather is. And if the air temperature outside is high enough, then it turns on my air conditioner for me. And when the temperature drops down again, it turns the AC back off.
Like I said, I only got it yesterday, so I haven't got into the if this then that stuff or anything, or the rules.
If this then that makes Wemo really, really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, now what I need is a sleep app on my phone that when I wake up, it knows I've woken it up and it switches the heater on for me. That would be even better. I haven't even got to press the button then.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
No, you know, if you want to take out some taps, because, you know, it's so much work to tap through to an app.
Yeah.
Set up through if this and that button through the Do Button app that they have, and then the Do Button app includes a widget for your home screen on your iPhone, so then you can do like I have done, where I set a button right on my home screen. I can tap that and turn the air conditioner on and off without having to unlock my iPhone and launch any apps.
Oh, awesome. Thanks for that, Doc, by the way.
I told you not to do it.
Right up my street.
All right, we're out of here. Let's go. Close out.
Yeah, we're done.
I'm leaving.
That's everyone. Where can I get a hold of you? Chris?
You can always find me on Twitter at Big Chris Ashley. And of course, you can find me and my boys every week on the SMR podcast. It's smrpodcast.com. Three guys really wrapping it up, talking about what's going on every week, starting to get into some more social talk too, like things with the Anonymous and the KKK leak that we're all waiting for that's supposed to come out today. So, yeah, man, it's a great show. A lot of fun. Definitely going to get a laugh out of it. You can find me in either one of those places.
Excellent, mate. Great to have you on. Jeffrey, where are you, sir?
I'm hanging out over at MacObserver.com and FreshBrewedTales.com, and on Twitter, I'm Jay Gamut, and I'm on a buttload of podcasts like this one, Apple Context Machine, I think there's more too, but that's enough for now.
Yeah, there was a huge gap in Jeff's audio there where he didn't list a lot of podcasts, but it doesn't matter. Just tune into any podcast and Jeff Gamet's probably on it.
Probably.
Mac Vader's put, Dot Rock, when I was at the Midwest barbecue, Jody showed me her grandkids at home on her iPhone. That makes it sound like they were chained up in the basement, girl.
Well, I would have done that, but my only other option was to watch them through my camera, which the camera, I can talk through them to them also. So if I see them doing something, I just push the button on and tell them to knock it off. So.
Oh, man.
That's awesome. I need one of those.
Opposite side of Lake Michigan, and your grandma still has the long arm of the the grandma law.
That's right.
There we go.
That's awesome.
So when they have a geek granny, they pay. There's a price to pay for that.
Yeah, they're going to grow up Luddites.
They love the tech, but they know that grandma's watching.
Doc, where are you, sir?
I am going to be here tomorrow morning at 0:30 in the morning.
You're
going to
stay for the whole show or what?
Huh?
You're going to stay for the whole show or what?
Yeah, the rest of the state is closed on that show. This one just happened to be in the middle. And then, it was kind of crazy. But for what it's worth, the urn came out nice. I always feel bad when I'm doing them. I don't know what to say to the people while they're standing there, but at least I feel like I'm helping them that their loved ones will be in a nicely decorated box, thanks to me.
Okay.
So there's that. Anyway, I'll see you guys tomorrow morning here twice a week on the BTN network, and now with more Jeff.
Righty, where are you, dude? What?
Well, one person won't be. He was Googling Spy Granny for a start.
Well, you were told.
I warned you, brother. I warned you.
Jesus. If I'm not doing that, you'll find me at forums on Twitter and over here at BritishTechNetwork.com.
Excellent, mate. And Jody, last but not least, where are you, Mrs.?
You can find me on Twitter at MacFindHer. So that's where I hang out. The other time, I'm driving my MacMobile and spying on my grandkids. So.
Yes.
Nice.
Don't let the buggers get away with anything, mate.
Nope.
Nothing.
Keep them in their place. Keep them chained to the sofa. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. If you've got a review, please post it on iTunes or anywhere else. And if you've got an email, send it to bridgetechnetwork@gmail.com. If you want your caricature, it's btncaricatures@gmail.com. Wednesday's coming up when it celebrates the end of the First World War. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, stand up, shut up, and remember that you've got the ability to do that. Thanks for listening. So anyway, the story I've got about Radio Shack, Jeff. I used to do a bit of hypnosis to help people out with certain problems that they had. And me and my cousin went into a Radio Shack in Detroit, and we were stood talking to... Oh, bye, Jody. Jody's going, apparently. And this guy was saying he was in a bit of pain with his wrist because he'd been in a car accident. So I said, I can help you with that. So we went in the back, and I gave him a bit of hypnosis to help deal with the pain, and the pain disappeared, and he was fine and happy. My cousin stayed out the front and was talking to the shop assistant, and the manager walked in, sacked him on the spot.
What?
Wow.
Well, I'd got him in a hypnotic trance, mate. I could have been cleaning the place out.
Wow.
I understand it now, but I mean, I didn't do anything wrong. I was trying to help the guy, and I did help the guy, but maybe he shouldn't have put himself in that position. And the guy told me that. I said, I was trying to defend the guy. I'm like, no, seriously, it was fine. We'd had a long chat. It wasn't as bad as it looks. And he said, you need to leave before I call the cops.
Oh, blimey.
Okay, I'll go. But he got
poor dude. International incident. Well done.